you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. X-Go, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? X-Go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Give up. Order now at Acura.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into Commanding the Huddle. I am your host, Ryan Fowler, and today we are talking the Washington Commanders 2023 draft class and what to expect from each guy, each of the seven draft picks that Washington had back in 2023 last spring. Look, only seven picks, one in each round, from Emmanuel Forbes out of Mississippi State on day one, all the way back to drafting edge rusher Andre Jones Jr. from Louisiana Lafayette in the seventh round. Now, wasn't the same amount of picks as they had in 2022 or in 2021 when they took 10 guys, but as we head into this class's sophomore year, and I say that with a little bit of a hesitation because of guys like Braden Daniels that they took on day three out of Utah that did not appear in a game in his rookie season. So he's going to have that red shirt freshman type of approach that we really saw from a guy like Fedarian Mathis this past fall after missing a majority of his rookie season after that week one game back in 2022 against the Jacksonville Jaguars and he got injured. So as we look at this group of athletes that Washington drafted, again, from Forbes on day one all the way back, it was a rookie class as a whole that was extremely underwhelming. A lot of conversations and narratives obviously stem around what a team does on day one if they do have a day one pick. Now, Washington is not sitting here like Houston was last year where they took C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson in the top five selections, and obviously both guys were excellent in their rookie seasons. It took Emmanuel Forbes. There are obviously questions when you heard his name come off the board, specifically with a guy like Christian Gonzalez still on the board, because this time last year, if you guys were here with me this time last year, all you did was hear me talk about Christian Gonzalez and praise him as a man's own versatile corner with the height, weight, speed, athletic profile, and mirroring ability to be a CB1 at a very high level at the NFL level. Now, he missed a majority of his rookie season as well after getting injured in the early portions of the season for New England, but was sensational in the time that he was healthy. And looking forward to seeing him in New England here moving into these next few years. But Emmanuel Forbes was not. And as I sit here right now, right, there is no more Jack Del Rio. There is no more Ron Rivera. It is now Dan Quinn and, of course, Joe Witt Jr. running the defense and that tandem coming over from the Dallas Cowboys. And the expectations for Emmanuel Forbes for me, and this is where we're going to kick it off today, is they're lofty. And the reason why I say that is you don't draft a guy on day one with the instincts and athleticism that Emmanuel Forbes has. And you just saw the inefficiencies of the coaching staff last year to put a zone corner, a cover three corner primarily at Mississippi State, into man situations early on in the year against guys like A.J. Brown and D.J. Moore. Now, there's not a single defense in the NFL that just runs man or just runs zone. You have to do a little bit of both. But you have your pillars of what you do on either side of the ball. You'll see it in Cliff Kingsbury's offense, and of course you're going to see it in Joe Witt Jr.'s defense, to where, yes, they're going to be aggressive, they're going to be physical, they're going to take chances, they're going to get after the quarterback. But what we saw with guys like Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland in Dallas was, look, we're going to trust our guys to get home up front, which hopefully makes things easier on the back end and allow you guys to be playmakers and make plays in the football. Not just getting interceptions, but potentially taking them back for six as well. And last year with Emmanuel Forbes, we didn't see that. He almost had a pick in week one against Arizona, reading that slant, I believe it was, to Michael Wilson over the middle of the field that he read like a book. And those are the kind of instincts and the eyes and the football IQ and understanding of offensive and route concepts that Emmanuel Forbes has in his game. But just the concepts, the confidence, excuse me, was lost for Forbes in year one. And it was a shame to see because for me, I still have a lot of confidence in the kid. Obviously, Washington made it a priority by drafting him to say, look, we want to win the turnover margin and we want to get the ball back for our offense and give them as many chances. If they can't get in the end zone, at least let Joey Sly attempt to kick that thing in from 42 yards on a consistent basis. Now, also, Joey Sly is now gone. He's in Jacksonville. And Brandon McManus is now the kicker in Washington. But allowing Emmanuel Forbes to do what he does best, which is play 5 to 7 yards off, read downhill, and make plays in the football. If you have to flip and run, he can. We saw him at the combine. The kid ran 4.3. Now, just because you run in a straight line in a t-shirt and shorts doesn't mean the game speed always translates. But his ability with his long strides, when he can elongate that gate, also a quick turnover, he's not the most physical corner in the world. That's not going to be his game. We saw that in year one. We also saw it at times in the SEC to where he could be bodied a little bit. He's also a guy that's going to be attacked in the run game. Those are the same concerns a lot of teams have in this year's draft for a guy like Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. That's extremely light, but he ran 4.28. So those types of concerns are still there. They're legitimate for Emmanuel Forbes in this defense. But now with Kendall Fuller gone and Benjamin St. Juice really as your CB1, CB2, they obviously brought in Michael Davis and James Pierre should offer potentially some more value out there as far as inside out and special teams ability. But he's a top CB on this defense, guys, flat out. And moving into year two, I expect a lot from Emmanuel Forbes. I don't expect Dan Quinn or Joe Witt Jr. to keep it cute with him, meaning, look, yeah, we're going to give you time to slowly develop. And if a guy goes for 200 yards here, you know, continue to throw you out there. And no, it's going to be a trial by fire experience for Emmanuel Forbes, as it should be. But they're going to put him in situations to succeed. And we flat out did not see that enough for me in 2023 in a defense to where Jack Del Rio wanted to align him in man against physical types of ball players with no help over the top. And you saw just the lack of Forbes' ability to play in that contact window, be physical, reroute guys, disrupt that timing, and consistently be that CB1 that Washington expects him to be. So year two and a new regime that did not draft him, that has no ties to him, it's a massive, massive campaign for Emmanuel Forbes to not just get his feet wet inside this Dan Quinn defense, but also say to Adam Peters, look, I'm a CB1 on this team. I belong here. I want to play past my rookie contract in Washington. So it's huge for everybody, not just Forbes, because nobody that's been drafted here in prior years, they don't have, this regime has zero ties to players. This free agency crop, they brought him in. So that's going to be the guys that produced this year, the Frankie Louvus, the Bobby Wagners, the Dorrance Armstrongs, the Tyler Biotishes, the Nick Allegretti's of the world, Austin Ecklers. Those guys, you can put it on the plate of Adam Peters and say, these are your guys, you brought them in, now we're going to judge you off these additions. But from a draft perspective, there's zero guys in the building right now that have any ties to the regime in town from a strict draft perspective. And that makes so much world of a difference in approaching how Adam Peters is going to select players in this draft and value different positions. Because if I'm sitting here right now and I look at Washington's corners room, they need some bodies. This is not the 2023 class that we saw of corners. Christian Gonzalez, talk about Forbes, Deontay Banks, Stephen Weatherspoon, Joey Porter Jr. All those guys were all drafted last year and drafted high. It's not this year in 2024. Very top heavy with guys like Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, Kool-Aid McKintry from Alabama, Cooper DeJean from Iowa. And as you work your way back, to nickel-specific guys like Mike Sanderstill from Michigan, or Jerrion Jones from Florida State, Andrew Phillips from Kentucky. So maybe one of those guys ends up in Washington because of the loss of Kendall Fuller, that ability to play inside out, we will see. However, Emmanuel Forbes, big year for him in year two. Moving forward, well, we'll stay on the defensive side of the ball, and of course, that is with Quan Martin. Now, this is where the nickel spot in Washington is going to be interesting, because Quan obviously played that at Illinois. A lot of versatility as far as what he was asked to do in college. And then in year one in Washington, you saw that versatility come out at times to where, look, he only missed one game, played in 16 games, had two picks. Some of the ball production you hope translates into his second year. But I'm really excited to see how Joe Witt Jr. and Dan Quinn use him off the edge and use him as that extra fringe defender in the outer areas of the run game. Teams want to consistently try to create an outside zone. Obviously, you know Philadelphia is going to get guys pulling in space, get Saquon Barkley running in space. Quan Martin's ability to play downhill and get off blocks, whether it's a tackle, whether it's a tight end, whether he's blitzing and getting around a running back and getting his hands in the way of a quarterback, I like that in his game. Now, did I think that Quan Martin should have been a second-round pick? No, I did not. But I think the athletic profile obviously extremely intrigued Washington to where last year and the years prior, you look at even guys like Sam Cosmi or Shaka Toney, those guys were high-level athletes, and Washington has consistently valued that high athletic profile. And if you're, look, there's a difference between being a good athlete and a good football player, but if you're able to mesh those together, then you're going to be working with something special. And Quan, obviously, towards the back end of the year, you started to see the game slow down a little bit for him. You saw the ball production. You saw his ability to make tackles in space. At times, he was everywhere. And that's all sometimes you can ask of a young guy on the defensive side of the ball to wear some injuries, right? Of course, with Derek Forrest in the back end, presented more snaps for a guy like Quan to come and just fly around and make plays. And he absolutely did that. And I'm excited as well to see him, again, working within Quinn and Joe Witt Jr.'s defense. Now, this is where this next group of guys, from Ricky Stromberg in the third round of Arkansas, all the way down to Andre Jones, outside of Chris Rodriguez, who was Washington's best rookie, in my opinion, last year, and I really don't think it was close. Ricky Stromberg played in four games, guys, in 2023. He's someone with versatility at guard and at center. You're not going to bump him out to tackle. But now with Tyler Biadasz in the building, Nick Allegretti in the building, again, I mentioned this regime has zero ties to him. I like his ability along the front five. I think he's someone that's athletic. I think he's someone that can offer you a unique skill set, and the fact of the matter to where you want to get downhill north-south, or you want to get him in space a little bit and getting pulling around the tackle. If you want him to do that, I think he can. And I think as of right now, his projection for 2024 is he's going to be a depth piece and a swing piece within the middle. And that's fine. But we did not see a lot of him in 2023. And it's a little bit of a shame because of the injuries that they saw and the lack of pop from guys like Nick Gates and Sadiq Charles and Chris Paul. You know, Sam Cosmi, by far, was Washington's best O-lineman at right guard. But the center and left guard spot was just a myriad of bodies and just swapping in and out seemingly week to week. And the level of play was just flat out not good enough. So I think he's someone that could be that swing option in the middle. He's going to battle his ass off for snaps in camp. And he's going to be that good, that excellent depth piece that you need along the front five because flat out, knock on wood, injuries happen. It's just it to who and to how long and right and what's the severity of those injuries, which hopefully Washington can limit in 2024. Next, Washington went right back to the offensive line well and took Braden Daniels out of Utah. Again, I mentioned it at the top, wasn't even active on a game day. Just saw him standing in a t-shirt and shorts and street clothes out of Utah. And for me, I thought Washington got a ton of value with him in the fourth round. I thought it was exactly where I had a late third round grade on him. So you're able to get him in the fourth. I thought that was a little bit of value. So he's someone, again, like Schomburg, that a lot of these offensive linemen have coming in nowadays. They have that versatility to play a multitude of spots. And he's got more of that tackle guard versatility. So Stromberg's got center guard. Braden Daniels has tackle guard. And that's great. I love that. But are you a tweener? Or can I throw you in a certain spot and understand the performance ceiling and level of play that you're going to have? Or what I mean by a tweener is teams don't like to evaluate tweeners. What are you as a football player? On the defensive side of the ball, are you an edge rusher? Or are you an off-ball linebacker primarily? What are you? Are you a nickel corner? Or are you a guy who can throw it on the perimeter? There's so many different things that go into these evaluations. And when I look at a guy like Braden Daniels, what are you going to be for this burgundy and gold offensive line? Because you've missed your entire rookie season, practice reps, preseason reps, potential game reps in certain scenarios. Not asking him last year to start 12 games, but at least be healthy to maybe get, you know, 100, 200 snaps potentially towards the back end of the year where Ron Rivera lets some young guys play. And that's fine with me. But what is Braden Daniels going to be for this group? Because I think he's athletic. I think technically he's got some work to do with his hands as far as his anchor and pass pro and countering his outside shoulder are some things that he needs to work on. But that's what coaching is for. And that's what development is for. But the athletic profile of him at the position, the versatility to play guard and tackle, should be 100% heading into 2024, right into these next few months, even mini camps, training camp, all that stuff, voluntary workouts. Excited to see how Braden Daniels progresses his game, both on and off the field, because the guy's got to flat out stay healthy and get in the training room and get your body back to 100%. Because as Ricky Schomburg is going to be, from a versatility perspective, Braden Daniels is going to be that as well. After they took Braden out of Utah, they went and they attacked the edge spot. And that was KJ Henry out of Clemson. We didn't see him really until week 11, where really his snaps started to get an uptick right after moving Chase Young, after Montez Sweat. When they hosted the Giants, of course, a loss for the Commanders was unfortunate. But look, he played in 10 games, had a sack and a half. Every game he played in, when he finally got substantial snaps outside of the week 18 game against Dallas, KJ Henry had a pressure. And I liked what I saw at times from him. He's not your modern-day 235-pound twitched-up edge rusher that is a uber athlete, but he's someone that will set the edge in the run game. He's a mature individual. He's someone with a skill set that will continue to refine as he moves down the line. And I like his ability now, more so even last year, to where we headed into 2023 as far as what the hell the futures for Chase Young and Montez Sweat. Well, we knew that at the deadline. So now with him being there, KJ Henry with Torrence Armstrong and Cleveland Farrell and Dante Fowler now coming in the building, re-signed F.A. Obada as a veteran addition that's familiar with surroundings in Washington. I like the spot for KJ to compete as that edge three, edge four, the same kind of role that he had in the early portions of last year, but I do think the snaps are going to be there for him. Now, do I expect him to be a guy that's going to have 60 snaps a game? No, that's not going to be KJ Henry's role. But similarly to what we saw at the back end of 2023, to where it was that 20 to 30, 35 range as a rotational piece, you can play him on early downs and then sneak him out there on third down in some unique packages if you want to get 3-4 edge rushers on the field at one time. We'll see what Dan Quinn and Joe Witt want to do with their defense. And I think KJ Henry's in a good spot this year. Not going to say he's has 6-7 sacks, but someone that can maybe get, say, 4 or 5 sacks this year in a DPR, designated pass rush type of role. And someone I expect to continue to improve, because that's the exact guy he was coming out of Clemson. Saw him down to the Senior Bowl, someone that was really impressive when given the opportunity, especially in one-on-one scenarios that he's going to see in his sophomore season. Then it's Chris Rodriguez from Kentucky. And I loved what I saw from Chris this year, or last year, excuse me. 13 games, 51 carries, 247 yards, 2 touchdowns. You knew what you were going to get out of Chris coming out of the SEC. Another guy that was down at the Senior Bowl last year and someone that lives within the tackles and just wants to run through you. But a lot like what Brian Robinson is, I think he's someone that has a little bit of a sneaky type of juice when you get outside the tackles and you get an outside zone and get him in space a little bit. Now, his exact path to snaps is a little bit confusing as of right now just because of the new addition that is Austin Eckler. He's going to steal a ton of snaps on third down. And on early downs, you fully expect to be Brian Robinson when healthy. And Austin Eckler absolutely is going to get carries as well on early downs. So where does that leave Chris Rodriguez? Because pigeonholing him right now in that Peyton Barber goal line or third and two type of situations to where he gets two or three carries a game, he deserves more than that. Now, this is in high school football to where I'm just getting guys snaps because it's a good story. No, Chris Rodriguez can play, guys. And I think we saw it a bunch last year when given the opportunity, even when Brian Robinson was banged up just a little bit. And he came in and took 5, 6, 7, 8 carries in a row. And you saw the type of build that he has. Now, is Chris Rodriguez ever going to be an RB1 in an NFL offense? At this point in time, I will say no. But what he is right now for Washington is a young piece with fresh tread on the tires that runs angry, runs violent. He's someone that you can bring in on third down if you have to and stay in pass pro while either of Austin Eckler or Brian Robinson leak out in space. That's some of that pony personnel that the Kansas City Chiefs have made so famous here over these last 2 or 3 years with guys like Isaiah Pacheco and Jerick McKinnon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's a three-headed backfield that they do different things. And in Washington, I expect all those guys to make the team. Now, are we going to consistently see all three guys active on game day? Who knows? Different opponents require different game plans and different ways you're going to attack them in space. And Austin Eckler, for example, the workload that he had in Los Angeles, I don't expect that to be in Washington. He's not the same player that he was 3, 4 years ago. I will say that off the hoof. So don't expect Austin Eckler to have this Christian McCaffrey type of workload in DC with Brian Robinson there. But for a guy like Chris Rodriguez, he deserves touches. He deserves carries, and I think someone that consistently battles his ass off for snaps, I love that, sitting in the rearview mirror of Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler. He was the best rookie for Washington last year. I expect him to have another impact season this year, battling, again, Brian and Austin for touches. Don't know what, I can't sit here right now as we sit here in late March and say, these are the stats I expect for Chris. But I do expect him, again, to make the roster and at least challenge these guys in front of him on the depth chart for snaps this year. Then we round out the draft class with Andre Jones Jr. from Louisiana Lafayette. Second straight year that Washington took a guy out of there, obviously taking Percy Butler in the year prior. And similarly with what I talked about, with KJ Henry, I expect with Andre to be that middle to back end of the depth chart type of guy at edge. Again, Adam Peters did not draft Andre Jones, but you watch him in the preseason, the Baltimore game, he's all over the place. One-on-one opportunities, he can dominate them at times. Had a really good camp last year, and the one-on-one opportunities, he was against the twos and the threes. And there's a reason why he really got the most snaps out of he and KJ Henry early on in the season, because he was playing his tail off. And it's not just ability to get after the passer. How can you affect the game in multiple ways? And I think Andre does that well. He's someone that also has had, in the conversations I've had with Andre, he's had a great offseason. He's working his tail off. The guy just got married as well. So I'm sure he's in a great mindset to head into 2024, pumped up and ready to compete because he sees the new additions, right? Armstrong, Cleveland Farrell, Dante Fowler, the names go on and on. Then he's got KJ Henry on the roster. Then they brought back F.A. Obada. So there's a lot of names that he's working against now to challenge for snaps. And a lot of those guys I just mentioned are younger pieces too. So it creates this environment to where you're going to have 5, 6, 7 guys trying to battle for potentially 6 to 15 snaps a game. And that's fine because you're keeping guys fresh on the perimeter. Now, Dorrance Armstrong, they paid him to be a guy that's going to potentially be an every down type of guy. Is he going to play every down every week? No, he's not. They had that rotation of guys present. But now with guys for Andre Jones, KJ Henry, guys that were drafted last year with minimal snaps, working into year two where this new regime's already bringing in new guys, neither KJ or Andre were high draft picks. They weren't high capital. You're not expecting a ton out of them. But value matters. And we know for Adam Peters, that's had a hell of a career. Rounds 4, 5, 6, 7, bringing in guys that can compete and produce. Those are types of athletes like Andre Jones that where they want to show this new regime that they're just not leftovers from the prior regime. They're here to compete. They're here to produce and earn some snaps for this roster. And there's never a bad thing when you have guys at the same position that are young, that are hungry, that have some intriguing spots in their game that you can say, hey, they can provide some pop here. And they're just constantly getting after it, challenging each other internally for snaps, which always gets the best out of guys. So that is Washington's 2023 draft class. And then he got Mitchell Tinsley as UDFA. Now, Kazmir Allen also was brought in last year. I know he was a fun piece to watch in camp, as was Tinsley. Kaz, I really don't expect anything from him in 2024. But for Mitchell Tinsley in Washington's receivers room right now, it's Terry McLaurin, it's Jahan Dotson. I've talked about it on prior episodes, and I've talked about it on other shows. I can't sit here right now and say that Diami Brown is a wide receiver three that I'm expecting to produce. And look, they brought back Jamison Crowder. Is he going to try to fill the hole a little bit of Curtis Samuel? He's not as dynamic as Curtis was. Now, if this was Jamison Crowder coming out of Duke years ago when Washington drafted him, then we could apply those similarities there. But not right now, later on in his career. He's going to be the primary punt returner. He's going to be a guy with maybe a further extension of the run game, some inside-out versatility, and some designated touches maybe once or twice a week. That's what you're going to have from Jamison Crowder. But the receivers room as a whole, and a guy from Mitchell Tinsley, to where he's going to get an opportunity to come in and compete in camp, he's not going to be wide receiver three. But wide receiver four or five, let him compete. Because you watched his success at Western Kentucky, you watched him at Penn State, to where the surroundings around him, look, with Sean Clifford throwing him the ball, I mean, there's a lot of better quarterbacks in college football that he had that you could place Mitchell Tinsley with, and the success would just go through the roof. So for a guy like that, that came in as a college free agent, again, out of Penn State, from the Big Ten, Power 5 experience, success against guys like Ohio State and your Michigans of the world and your Maryland's, and I mean, there's guys everywhere in the Big Ten. Ladies and gentlemen, there's players everywhere. So for Mitchell, excited for him. Some of them have an eye on in this post-draft process, especially we'll see what Washington does, because they flat out did not add a body in free agency to come behind McLaurin and Dotson and be that wide receiver three. So as much as Crowder is, as much as Dax Milne, who's still hung around, he's on the roster. And guys in the back end, I mentioned Kaz Allen or your Bryson Tremaine, UDFA from Stanford, or Davion Davis. All those guys in that mix should be there for that wide receiver 4 through 6 type of option, because they just need some pop, guys. I can't sit here right now and rely on Diami Brown to be wide receiver 3. I just can't. Outside of the 2-touchdown game against Tennessee, what has really Diami Brown done? It's a lot of disappearing. I can't trust his hands. The separation ability is not there. I know we were excited at times heading in last year with the Sam Howell, Diami Brown connection from North Carolina. That never evolved into anything. They need some pop at the wide receiver position. And similarly, where we were a couple years ago, where it was just Terry, before they signed Curtis Samuel from Carolina and before they drafted Jahan on day one out of Penn State, they needed help. And as we sit here in late March, there's a lot of names on this roster, on the depth chart, that you could say could play, but are any of those guys going to be playmakers behind Terry and Jahan? I can't sit here and say that right now. So that is going to do it for today's episode. Hope you guys enjoyed. I'm on Twitter, if you don't follow me there already, _RyanFowler. All my work is at Bleach Report and the Draft Network. And I have a lot more episodes out for you guys this week. Prioritizing player interviews. Got a lot more coming for you guys. I have at least 8 or 9 still in the bank, and a lot more to come here this week. Again, tons more to come here as we get closer to the 2024 NFL draft. Also going to get closer to me launching my final mock draft, 7-round mock draft for the Washington Commanders, where I think they're going to go on all 3 days. What positions, right? We obviously have a need under center. I expect them to go there at 2. Who are they going to take? Is it J.J. McCarthy? Is it a Drake May? Is it Jaden Daniels? We'll see. Guys, a lot of attention on all 3 of those guys here specifically over this last week or two. And I'm excited here to get into this draft class even more as we move closer to this thing. So again, I always appreciate you guys tuning in. This podcast is on all podcast platforms, and I will talk to you very soon. So appreciate you guys as always. I am Ryan Fowler, and this is Commanding the Huddle.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
My name is Molly, and I'm a political science major at Kent State University. Kent State has these core values, kindness, respect, and purpose in all we do. Ever since I was old enough to understand the legal system, I've wanted to help serve justice, and I would like to be a prosecutor for the city of Cleveland and then hopefully move up to the county in the Justice Center downtown. Kindness and respect go a long way. As a prosecutor, you have to be kind to all parties of the courtroom to truly help everybody involved.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl for 2-in-1 disinfection, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.